I started off like everyone else. I'd never heard of the man other than Howard Park, Howard Avenue. And as I started to get into his story, I was amazed at just how diverse his life was, the things he did, and he should be so well known. It's just amazing. I'm Lee Smith. I'm a volunteer here at the East Gippsland Historical Society, and I helped to put together the exhibition on Alfred William Howard.
Shall we start by having a look at the exhibition that you've put together? And in front of me here, I've got a great poster, but it's got Burke and Wills on it, so I was a bit confused for a second. Can you explain the connection there?
We found that everyone knows about Burke and Wills, but people haven't heard of Howard. And the connection is, Howard was actually the man who led the rescue expedition. He found this survivor, King, returned to Melbourne, then was asked to go back and find the bodies and bring them back, which he did. And he never lost a man, a camel, a horse. He managed to do all of that, not a problem. Many people say if he'd been the one to lead the expedition, it would have been a far different story. But Burke and Wills are celebrated, and it's a tragedy how it's the man that cleaned it all up virtually.
It's a good introduction to Howard as an explorer too. It sounds like he was quite competent in living in a fairly wild domain.
Oh, absolutely. He came to Australia when he was 22 years old in 1852 from Nottingham in England, a well-to-do family. People like Wordsworth and Browning were guests of his family, so totally different environment, but he absolutely thrived in it.
After the drive down from Omeo in grand style with four horses, much to the amazement of the people who hardly thought anyone could drive four down such roads, the land is good and timbered, with enormous box and red gum trees. It is well grassed. Our house stands on a high...
Many people will probably be wondering by this stage what his connection is to Gippsland in particular.
150 years ago, in 1863, he was appointed police magistrate for this region, based initially in Omeo.
Shall we go on to the next part of the exhibition?
Mm-hmm.
In this room, we've also got various objects in the cabinets here. What are some of the artefacts that we've got?
Dr. David Walker from Sydney, great-grandson of Alfred Howard. We contacted him and he very kindly loaned a lot of family artefacts, which we have here, portrait of his mother.
She looks very beautiful.
Absolutely. Mary, she was an author in her own right. We have books here which he wrote and he actually has signed the books, so they're valuable.
Was he much of a bookish person, do you think?
Yes, he was inquisitive. He was very observant and he was able to put that into writing. So yes, but he was also a man of action. Like, he learned to shoe his own horses, because when he was magistrate here, he had to travel hundreds and hundreds of miles around the circuit.
And over in this case, it looks like we've got a cap and a cape.
Worn by Alfred Howard when he was presented with an honorary doctorate of science at Melbourne University in 1905.
It's in excellent condition too.
It is.
The cap's still got all of its velvet. It almost looks like it could be worn just yesterday.
Yes, it's in very good condition.
Looking at this part of the exhibition, we've got some stones here, some stone axe, a nulla nulla. We've got various Indigenous tools here. It seems as if he was very much involved with Indigenous people in this area as well.
He was one of the first to be involved in anthropology, and most of the knowledge that we have of the local tribes comes about from his observations and his writings. And if you look here, the Native Tribes of Southeast Australia was one of the books which he published.
When we hear about early white settlers and explorers and the relationship with Indigenous people, it's not always a positive one. In Howard's case, was it an amicable relationship between the Indigenous people of Gippsland and his family?
He was very enlightened for his day, and although part of what he was doing, he thought he had to record the customs and the totems and marriage laws and so forth, because the way things were going and the way the Aboriginals were treated, he was afraid that they might actually die out.
And over here, I see in this case over here, you've got what looks like a series of interesting rocks. We've got all sorts of quartz-looking rocks over here. We've got some more granite-looking rocks. What are these?
He was also very involved in geology, and he recorded the rocks and things which he found around the region. And the Bensdale Lapidary Club and the Prospectors and Miners Club, they very kindly have donated the artefacts here so that we could display some of these.
Now, we're standing in the hallway here at the museum. We've got a picture in front of us of the Dernagan.
Howard actually paddled down the Mitchell River with two Aboriginal companions and came across the Den of Nagan, which he was very interested in, and he was told that the Nagan lived there, which would grab unwary people and drag them into the den, and he was quite fascinated with that. He was the first to actually come right down the Mitchell. And the other one, Lake Tali Khan, he took his daughters, and they actually rode side saddle all the way from Eastwood to Lake Tali Khan, and they took photos as they went.
It's amazing to see the women, too, his daughters, part of his family, that with their hair all done up in buns and their hats on and full gear, and they all would have travelled like that.
Oh, absolutely. They dressed beautifully and they rode side saddle the whole way. Amazing feat.
It's amazing to think that hikers consider it quite a tough hike at the moment, but in Howitt's day, him and his daughters just set off and did it like that.
They did indeed. I think they were all bitten by the exploring bug.